Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
All right, let's do it.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. I'm Jamie Markley. That's David Van Camp. There's Scott Robbins. There's a lot to get to and a lot that concerns really everybody in the country. But there's this one particular story that broke that is a head scratcher at the very least.
Yeah, I don't know. We're just now learning this, even though I guess it happened a couple of weeks ago. A drunk guy reportedly wandered into the home of the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan.
And the secret, wait a minute.
The Secret Service is there.
24/7.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were on duty. They didn't see the guy wander in. They said there was no sign of a struggle, no sign of forced entry. And as the story goes, Jake Sullivan, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, Jake Sullivan was the one who found this drunk guy in his house, and he asked the drunk guy to leave. I don't know if he threatened to serve him with a sternly worded letter or what.
Yeah, right.
It worked so well with the Taliban.
Of course it did.
Then Jake walked outside to tell the Secret Service, hey, did you know there was a dude in here? The Secret Service said, what? No, we had no idea.
This is a... What is going on?
How did he
There's
get it?
Something
did he come,
else happening. There has to be.
Like a sliding glass door he went through?
They said there was no sign of forced entry.
So something was open.
Something was open, I guess. But what is this? Anyway, I thought it was kind of interesting that even though there was no assault, there was no attempted assault, there was no break-in, actually, the Today Show still tried to tie it to make it this bigger story. I don't know if you heard this about crime against lawmakers.
Oh, my goodness. See, I caught the Good Morning America coverage. This is new to me. Roll it out.
There was no physical confrontation with Sullivan, and at no point did it appear that Sullivan or his family was in any type of danger. This, of course, comes against the backdrop of rising threats against public officials across the country, of course, this week.
Did he say lies and threats?
A rise in threats. Yeah, I thought it was lies, too, the first time I heard it. No, it's rise in threats.
Okay. So the threat is I can just roll into your place at 3 a.m., even though you're the National Security Advisor and you have Secret Service. I'm going to go ahead and just see if I can slip through. BS on this. What's going on?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's more. Yeah.
Of course, just this week, we saw the office of Democratic Congressman Jerry Connolly attacked by an intruder. So, Savannah, this is something that is at the top of many people in Washington's minds.
Well, one... This has nothing to do with that.
No.
I mean, there have been lawmakers assaulted, but the bigger story is because crime is out of control in Washington, D.C. And I would say to all the Washington, D.C., the people who work there in Congress and in the White House, welcome to what the rest of America has been dealing with the last 3 years. Okay?
A rise in crime.
Was Jake Sullivan in his underwear holding a hammer?
I don't see that. No, again, like at the risk of getting out over my skis, and I admit it, I did with the Paul Pelosi thing because I none of that made sense to me
it
either.
Did not make
Still
sense.
Doesn't. No.
It's like, okay, but if you're the National Security Advisor, I mean, you're not talking about some, you know, 70-year-old neighborhood watch guy. You know, you're the National Security Advisor with Secret Service detail, and a drunk guy just waltzes into your house in the middle of the night? Something else happened.
Dude, I can't tell you how many friends I have that are not in politics, not in government, but just because of cameras around the house and activated lights,
Yeah. Okay,
would have a better idea of an intruder just with your basic security system at home
than this guy, the national security advisor.
Did the guy say you're in mega country now?
that I don't know, but I think we do have a clue. He was apparently holding a can of Bud Light.
Okay, so. More on that story a little bit later. David, you have a story out of Philadelphia, but this seems to be indicative of the United States in general.
I think this is the good news. I know there's a lot of stuff that's really hard to take right now. There's a lot of feeling of being downtrodden if you're a common sense American. Mm-hmm. And I will say this. This is a Democratic primary in the city of Philadelphia for the next mayor. And because, I mean, Democrats outnumber Republicans in the city of Philadelphia 7-1. So this, for all intents and purposes, is the mayoral election. The election happened last night, and the woman who won and will likely be the next mayor is someone who is in favor of things like stop and frisk, because crime is so out of control in Philadelphia, like so many other places. Sherelle Parker beat Helen Gim, a far-left loon who had been endorsed by Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Gim was big on the whole defund the police stuff. Sherelle Parker, meanwhile, wants to hire at least 300 more police officers and is cool with someone being stopped for reasonable suspicion, a.k.a. stop and frisk.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, even though this is a Democratic primary, this is a sign to me that a lot of people, regardless of party identification, are waking up that this far-left progressive ideology doesn't work. We need a different direction.
There's no question about it. And what it reminds me of, and Scott, I think you were in the hospital with your heart attacks in like 2016, maybe 17, somewhere in there. I can remember places like Vice News before they went out of business. They would have some reporters that would go into places like Chicago, into neighborhoods where there were a lot of gun deaths. And you would have these ladies saying, we need more police here.
Yeah.
Because you have the criminals in these neighborhoods running everything. Our kids can't even go to the park without fear of getting shot. There used to be people that would report on that from the left. You haven't seen that now in quite a number of years. But I don't know that the people that live in these neighborhoods that are high crime have changed their minds over time. I think they've always wanted law and order. It seems to be the people that don't live in those places that are saying, hey, we can't have stop and frisk. That's racist. While people in the neighborhoods are saying, go get the criminals.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of nuts.
I thought it was interesting seeing some of the data coming out from the city of Philadelphia. You know, the only place that was really going for the socialist candidate was right around a college campus. And that makes sense.
Yes. Dumb, indoctrinated kids and the people that teach them.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, did you see what Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, is doing? Deploying the National Guard law enforcement to help Texas. All right, we're going to send our people over to Texas to help with that problem going on there.
Good job.
You like that?
Hell yeah, I like it.
Some people are saying that is just a calculated political play.
So what?
Right. There actually is a problem, though, at the southern border. So who cares?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Call it what you want.
List of support includes more than 100 Florida Highway Patrol troopers, 200 Florida Department of Law Enforcement officers, and 800 Florida National Guard soldiers, all being sent to Texas. Because all of a sudden, it seems that after last weekend, media comes out and says, oh, not near as big a problem as we thought. Yeah. Good news. Carry on now. But the problem continues.
Yeah.
It's just not getting coverage.
Well, they're squealing now like crazy, though. These northern states that are getting it now, and now we have a problem.
Yeah. People here illegally are getting busted.
Well,
all
if these governors are like, we can't do this anymore, we got to move on with this.
Did you see the mayor of New York, Eric Adams?
Yeah.
They were supposed to have a public hearing to talk about relocating migrants. Canceled it. Didn't want to deal with the backlash.
somebody drug up a tweet too. I saw today, Eric Adams in 2021. We should protect our immigrants. Period. New York City will remain a sanctuary city under an Adams administration. All right. There you go. From 21. Yes, indeed.
Boy, oh, boy. That's something, isn't it? Bud Light, David, back in the news.
Yeah, Bud Light's been really struggling because of that whole partnership with trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney, and there might be a new twist to this. Ashley St. Clair, a writer for the Babylon Bee, a satirical website, posted a photo that's a real photo of a 24-pack of Bud Light offering a $20 rebate, which is basically the same cost as the beer itself. I think it was listed at Walmart at $19.98.
I did see that over the weekend for real.
Yeah. So I did some research, and there is actually the rebate offer valid in Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Tennessee, but you have to spend $50 on groceries to qualify. There's a lot of different beer brands that do something like this, so I don't know if this is a direct, hey, please get our product. It is funny timing, and I will say, as part of my research, I was looking at different rebate offers. The closest thing I found in terms of the dollar amount of the rebate was Stella Artois, where you get like a case of Stella, and you can get $30 off or a $30 rebate, but you have to spend $150 to qualify, not $50.
So that's because you can't give away beer, right?
Right.
I mean, you can't do it. There's got to be something attached to it.
Well, I have heard of different bars, restaurants, stores going half price on the Bud Light just to get it out
before
it gets totally skunky, that sort of thing. And it's been interesting, too, because you've seen some backlash toward Miller Lite because of the feminist ad that they had like a month ago. And that's gotten a lot of play within media. I have not heard that just from people talking as much as you see it online. And then all I can think is, did Anheuser-Busch start this whole Miller backlash to get some sort of, you know, attention off of them?
I wonder.
Because that's just a pandering feminist ad. It's way different when you have the trans activists that you're partnering with. Anyway, who knows? All right. Did you see the story? And I saw this a couple of days ago. We just haven't had time to get to it. The sorority that has filed a lawsuit against Kappa Kappa Gamma. Hey, we can't have this trans person seeing us naked all the time. Next.
The Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robin, excuse me. This is crazy. We predicted it would get to this.
I mean, it didn't take, you know, a genius to know this was going to happen at some point. Sorority sisters at Kappa Kappa Gamma in Wyoming have sued the fraternity, people that run it, for saying they had to allow this 6'2" trans-identified male with, quote, visible erections into their sorority.
Okay. You know.
What?
What in the hell is going on?
It's been going on for a while.
It's upside down world. Visible erections.
Yes, allegedly became sexually aroused in the girl's presence.
That's fantastic.
Since you haven't seen this story, I can show you a quick picture here. That's the trans woman, which is a dude.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like there's much of an effort there to appear to be female.
No.
The complaint was filed on Monday by 7 past and present sorority members. This was in the U.S. District Court of Wyoming. And it accuses Kappa Kappa Gamma of betrayal and breaking their bylaws that state that the sorority is a single-sex organization and that must be preserved. The girls allege that Artemis Langford, 6'2", weighing 260, has had, quote, visible erections through his leggings.
Through his leggings.
Repeatedly questions the women about what vaginas look like, cup size, whether women were considering breast reductions and birth control.
All right. All right.
But I just wanted an interview with these ladies.
What did you say?
He's just one of the gals, all right?
Yeah.
I assume that's what women talk about when they're amongst themselves.
I heard an interview with these girls. They were talking about going to the upper echelon of this fraternity, talking to the people running, saying, we can't have this. Well, you better. Okay, this isn't whatever the 1980s. This is 2023.
Okay.
Well, and they're saying, well, you need women's spaces to be protected. We've got a guy with an erection watching us undress, and we don't even know he's in the room. This is insanity. So, yes, Artemis became the sorority's first trans-identified member in 2022. Reportedly attracted to women and doesn't try to present as anything other than male.
He's just a dude walking around in tight pants.
I identify as female. I want to be in your sorority.
I think you're really pretty.
This is seriously like the 2023 update to Animal House, isn't it? Or something like that, like an old frat boy comedy.
Yeah, you could say Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, whatever it might be. Yes.
Your daughter calls you on the phone and says, I've joined the sorority, Dad. There's this guy here that is wearing tights with an erection watching us undress. What do you think about that?
I say, I'm not paying for your school anymore.
That's exactly right. And I'm coming to get you right now.
Wow.
While we're at it, maybe Artemis and I will have a little conversation.
He is 6'2", 260, so I don't know if he can fight, but he's a pretty big guy.
Yeah, you know, you can't tell everything by appearance. It doesn't look like a 6'2 intimidating presence at 260.
I was just going to say, I doubt if it is.
I don't think this person would catch you in a race.
No.
I'll put it that way.
And if nothing else, you know, you can just kick him in the family jewels. So, I'm sorry, kick her in the family jewels.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, this is obvious. They said, well, we felt vulnerable and uncomfortable, and we couldn't believe sorority leadership allowed this to happen. Okay. I suppose that's enough of that. We'll see where that goes. That's just, it's beyond, man. I mean, and we used to joke, there's going to be some dude that just identifies a certain way. And then you hear, and I always forget the name of it, you usually remember it, David, is the different dudes like the Leah Thomas that some would argue not really trans. It's just they sort of get aroused by dressing and appearing female.
Yeah.
And there is a name for that. I always forget it. Whatever. Unrelated topic. Where in the world are men most likely to pee sitting down? This was part of a new study.
Well, I have it on good authority that it's not at a sorority in Wyoming, okay? That dude pees standing up.
Yeah.
Do you know what country it is, by the way, if you had to guess?
Japan.
Nope.
Dang.
Germany.
Yes, how did you know that?
I don't know.
Did you see this?
I just took a guess. That was a flyer.
Yes. It is German. 40% of German men say they sit down every time they whiz. I've heard some guys say this about other guys, as to rip on them. Looks like the kind of guy that sits down to pee.
I think I've made that exact joke about Adam Kinzinger before.
You have?
Yeah.
Between you and my buddy Brady, I've heard this so many different times in so many different areas, and even athletes have said it about other athletes. Yeah. It's just, looks like you'd sit down to pee. Apparently in Germany, that's a popular thing. Where the other countries where this happens quite a bit, I guess, Sweden, Denmark, Canada, and Australia. Remember Australia used to have the reputation as a bunch of tough people, and especially tough dudes? Well, I think that was before the pandemic.
I think they tell you it's better for men if they do sit down in terms of flushing the system.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, again, that's what I've heard.
I did see this.
I dropped out of med school after my freshman year.
It's more common for older men to do it, especially once you get past 60.
Well,
do you want to speak to that, Scott?
Well, the only thing I can say is the guy with his hand up, you're behind him at the ball game, and he's there forever.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Both prostrates like a basketball. Yeah, he should probably turn one around.
All right, news update next.
All right. The Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins, the Gen Xer, the Millennial, the Sexy Boomer. Okay, as it happens a lot on the show, they have a certain sort of game plan, and then you just throw it out the window because Van Camp is laughing uncontrollably at the moment.
Okay.
There must be breaking news. What happened?
Yeah. All right, so you know how you got this new far-left mayor in Chicago? Brandon Johnson is his name. Okay.
Yes.
So allies of the mayor have released a financial blueprint that calls for $12 billion in new taxes, including a head tax of $33 per worker for companies with more than 50 employees, quadrupling the tax on jet fuel, 3.5% income tax on households making $100,000, a 0.4% wealth tax for the top 10% of city earners, and a $1 to $2 transaction tax for financial exchanges. it's a total, not even soak the rich. It's, I mean, Chicago, if you have an annual salary of $100,000, you're still not wealthy.
Oh, my goodness.
If you're middle class if your household income is $100,000.
Yes.
If you live in the city of Chicago.
Yes.
It is actually called, I'm not joking about this, First We Get the Money, ...
You can't make that up.
No. Dang, man.
Wow.
The plan also calls for eliminating all current vacant positions at the Chicago Police Department and cutting the budget by 9%, the police budget.
Dude, I'm sorry. I'm going to reference a 1979 movie called The Warriors.
Yes. Mm.
It happens occasionally on the show. And near the end, I think it was Washington that said, Cyrus was right about one thing. It's all out there. We just got to figure out a way to go steal it.
Yep.
And that's what it sounds like in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
First we get the money.
Oh, my goodness, man. All right. You have a story, David, of an elementary school teacher.
Yeah, there's a fifth grade teacher in Florida who says she's being investigated by the state after a parent complained about a movie she showed the kids. Jenna Barbie is her name. Apparently, she showed this Disney movie that came out last year called Strange World. I have not seen it, but apparently a big plot point is the main character is gay and has a crush on another boy in the movie.
Okay.
A parent complained about it, saying the teacher was opening the door for inappropriate and now in the state of Florida, unlawful conversations within the classroom. And I think of all the Disney movies, really, you know what you're doing with that. I mean,
yes, they know what they're doing.
Anyway, Jenna Barbie was on CNN because, of course, she's being painted out as this victim of fascist Ron DeSantis or whatever. And she responded to the parent who complained about it.
Okay.
What she's missing and what these parents are missing is they're not in the school system. That just shows me that she's ignorant and has not come and volunteered at all. Because are these conversations, these doors, they're open. These students have one-to-one devices. The amount of things that they're able to pull up that we have to shut down, these conversations, these doors that she's talking about that's telling me I'm stripping her rights as a parent, those rights are gone when your child's in the public school system because there are students talking about these things. It's where they get 90% of their socialization for the day. And we can't shut down every conversation every child has.
But you don't have to promote it.
No, you don't.
I mean,
no, you do your job, okay? And as far as...
Those rights are gone when your child's in the public school system because...
Said the quiet part out loud.
Not. Yeah, no.
They're not.
No, they don't just go away as soon as a kid enters the classroom. That's not... Yeah, I mean, it's one thing. Of course, kids have conversations, yes, even in elementary school.
Sure.
That you probably wouldn't want your parents to know about. If you are the kid having that conversation, maybe I'm telling on myself here, but there are things you and your buddies, as you're kind of exploring language and the world around you and whatnot, you'd have these conversations, but you didn't. But if the teacher got wind of it, they'd tell you to knock that crap off.
Not say, I want to guide the conversation,
right?
Or I want to play this movie to stir conversation.
Yes.
As a parent, you already have your challenge with smartphones, with anything online, because you're trying to keep control of that already. You don't need to add to the challenge of, well, what is the teacher showing as the movie today at school? No. And no, this part about...
Those rights are gone when your child's in the public school system.
No, they're not. Maybe people have been indoctrinated to believe that. That is not true, and that's why so many people are leaving public
Bring
schools.
Back the film strip guy.
Who's the film strip guy?
In East Africa, native.
Oh, dude, you don't
plants
want
are
you
being
don't want
eaten
kids
by...
tortured with that border.
But
do
that
you?
Dude, that was like the best, right? Film strip guy was the best because you have to pay attention to it. He just could nod off.
Yeah, I was at the tail end of the film strip, then it was Laserdisc for a while. Remember
oh,
that?
Yeah.
I remember watching on Laserdisc The Voyage of the Mimi, which is, millennials will know what I'm talking about, or many millennials will know what I'm talking about, especially if you're an older millennial like me. It was about, I guess the boat was called the Mimi, and I think Ben Affleck was in it as a young kid.
What?
And I need to fact check that. But for some reason, I have it in my mind that that was Ben Affleck as a young kid. That was like the first movie he was in.
Well, they got something similar to that now. My Grampy is my Mimi.
Yeah, Voyage of the Mimi is about a guy named Earl becoming Earlene.
You're right.
All right, it's the time of the show. We go around the room, and it's not the biggest story maybe out there today, but it caught your attention. David, today, what's your story?
Oh, man, Bloomberg has a wild piece about, climate change and trying to change the weather through legislative actions. You need to understand that this is the goal. This is what they want. The headline is South Africa beats climate goal, comma, as blackouts slash emissions. See, South Africa has had massive blackouts because they've gone all in on the green weenie stuff, and they've had regular breakdowns of coal-fired plants, which represent about 80% of South Africa's electricity production. But they're not pushing to improve those things. What they're doing is investing in solar and wind, and it can't keep up because it's not that reliable right now. But it's framed as a positive. No kidding. What they write in the first paragraph of this piece: South Africa is ahead of its target for cutting emissions of greenhouse gases. Yeah, because people power for 12 right. hours a day.
Besides that, you know.
What a success.
Minor inconvenience. Yeah.
It's a little warm in here.
Yeah.
But yeah. We're hitting the goal. That's fantastic. All right. So for your story today, Scott, what do you got?
D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser stunned lawmakers. And that takes a lot to stun lawmakers when she testified that just over 200 homeless people live in the nation's capital. 200? She made the claim during testimony before the House Oversight and Accountability Committee on Thursday, telling them that her numbers are the facts. Despite other estimates that triple, quadruple that number of people living on the streets in D.C. Do you agree that we have a major problem in Washington, D.C. as it relates to homelessness? Asked one of the lawmakers. Well, we have 221 people as of today's count. They're living on the street. Are those the people you're referring to? No, it's the other 3,000 that you don't count.
Wow. Okay.
You just make up a number. You just throw it out there. There it is. It's only 200.
Well, who's going to hold her accountable?
Well, no one is. That's my point. You can just say whatever you want.
Yes. Thought this was interesting for my story today. And I don't think this is going to get a whole lot of traction. There was a new paper from Northwestern University. They did some research.
Did they?
Yes. And they found out that aggressive use of ventilators may have killed some COVID patients.
Oh, that's been talked about for, years at this point, that if somebody was having trouble breathing, they just like crammed all that equipment down in there. They didn't have a lot of, there were people that were doing that didn't have the right kind of training to administer that type of treatment. And so they actually like suffocated people.
God.
Yeah, dude. Now, when you've seen this, have you seen it in mainstream media at all?
I think I've seen an article, but it was more like, it was framed as new conspiracy theory from right-wing sources, and it's like, well, no, it's really not. That has been talked about pretty much since the beginning.
Research from Northwestern University is far right now?
Yes, apparently so, yeah.
And Alex Berenson highlighted this, but from the research, it said COVID, and I know there were a lot of people that died. I'm not making light of that. But it had a relatively low mortality rate compared to other respiratory illnesses. And the researchers found after examining about 600 patients with severe pneumonia, COVID patients remain intubated longer than other patients and develop secondary bacterial infections way more often.
Mm-hmm.
And those extra infections cause many deaths in the COVID patients. In other words, if they would not have put them on the ventilator, they would have been okay. Or very possibly okay,
yeah.
Which is kind of wild. Because then you go back and you remember when Trump talked about ventilators, legacy media freaked out. It was a Politico headline from March of 2020. Trump saying, I don't believe you really need that many ventilators.
Yeah.
He wants people to die.
Well, and in that case, it was because, what was it? It was like Andrew Cuomo was saying they needed 30,000 ventilators when they really didn't. And all of that was because a New York Times reporter forgot to carry the one doing some calculations.
Mm-hmm.
Basically misquoted an estimate, greatly inflating the number of ventilators that would be needed. And then, was it the New England Journal of Medicine or one of the medical journals picked up that fake news? And then it got reported again in the New York Times. And then that's why it was like, we need a million ventilators all at one time, as opposed to what the actual estimate was throughout the entirety of the pandemic, a million people would probably need to be on a ventilator.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was, but they thought it was all at one time.
Right.
Yes. Well, and the Wall Street Journal reported back December 2020 that doctors often put preemptively patients on ventilators when they didn't need to. And they go on to say it's dangerous for patients, especially when it goes on for long periods. Trach tubes are a highway to bacterial lung infections or ventilator-acquired pneumonia, which can be difficult to treat even with antibiotics. So, holy smokes, man. This as a driver in mortality in patients with COVID-19 was really underestimated. This paper was published in the Journal of Clinical Investigation. And to me, when I see that, I would think that a lot of people that just want to get their daily dose of news, however they get it, would be interested to know that. Because it just makes you more wise for the future. Like, oh my gosh.
For sure.
So out of good intentions, you can call it whatever you want. This happened just a few years ago. Wouldn't you want to know that compared to everything else they're telling you today?
Yeah. And to me, whenever I've seen this conversation pop up, a lot of people have said, well, you don't understand this and you're blaming doctors for doing their best. And I don't think that's the case.
No.
I don't know really anybody who's saying, oh, the doctors on purpose killed a bunch of people with ventilators. No. When it's the fog of war, you are trying to do what is right. The question, though, is how prevalent was this in terms of death related to COVID treatments? Because you need to know that the next time some sort of respiratory virus starts spreading like wildfire in the United States. This is about developing best practices, not about demonizing doctors.
Yes. By the way, whenever we bring up trachs, we remember Robbins in the hospital in 2019 after his heart attacks. You were completely out for over a month.
2015.
What did I say?
19.
Oh, sorry. And then when you could finally communicate through the trach, your snarky sense of humor still came through, but it just sounded different.
Yeah.
And David, you've referenced it. Yeah. I don't know how many times the one time we're up there. Who got fired today?
Yeah.
So at that time, there were a lot of people getting fired.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, with those things, too, and I had one, is that your lungs are damaged.
Yeah.
I mean, there's generally no question about it that you're never going to have the capacity you had before.
Right. Yes. But I still just be talking about somebody. You'd say, what an idiot.
You should have had a game. Scott said what?
News update next.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins.
The U.S. economy hangs in the balance. Livelihoods of millions of Americans do too. So there's no time to waste.
Debt ceiling! Janet Yellen! We got to get something done.
Man, that's the big old story, you know. Fear machine is up to 11, isn't it? Man.
Our Werther's original supply stock will soon be going down.
Republicans don't care about people.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to take everything away.
No, I mean the debt ceiling. How many times are they going to raise that thing?
Right.
This is insanity. You got to stop the spending and all the social crap.
Well, and what Republicans are proposing is actually not that drastic.
No.
It's basically saying, whatever we raise the debt ceiling to, let's make sure that we're spending under that.
Hey, it's so infuriating.
Isn't that a weird concept?
Yeah, right.
I know.
Yes. You only spend what you make.
It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
All right, what's the story in Texas, David?
Yeah, electric vehicle owners in Texas will be paying more to renew or register their vehicles starting in September. When you have to register your vehicle every year, well, there's going to be a $400 fee to register your vehicle if you drive an EV, in addition to other standard registration fees. current owners would pay $200 a year when renewing registration. And, I mean, part of this, all of it actually has to do with the fact that electric vehicles, since they don't run on gas, people who drive those are not contributing to the gas tax fund. And taxes,
so we're going to get it some other way.
Yeah, so you got to get your money one way or the other. Right?
Oh, sure.
That's how it works.
Yes.
Texas is actually not the first to do this. California does it. I mean, there's a lot of states that have moved to do this in order to fill in the gap, especially states that don't have a state income tax.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you need to have some form of income coming into the state coffers, and the gas tax is a really popular way to fund projects.
Yeah, so you're going electric, we'll get you another way.
Yeah.
Just the way it is. But you got the great government rebate when you got that
right,
electric
exactly.
vehicle. If it was the one that the government said you could buy.
Right.
If it's one of the ones they don't approve,
yeah.
then you're SOL. Because we don't like Elon Musk.
No.
So those Teslas, those, nah. But the ones we say are okay, we'll give you the rebate on it. Yeah. This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins.
Okay. So the Durham report produced no startling revelations, nothing there really.
Yeah, this is wild to me, man. This is probably the best example of how the media is basically just trying to cover for itself now after being totally exposed for lying about the Trump-Russia collusion stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How all their sources lied to them and they just played stenographer and pushed it out to the American people for years.
Yes.
Durham report is out. This is the investigation into the origins of the Trump-Russia investigation. And John Durham found that the FBI never had evidence that warranted a full investigation. It was started by the Clinton campaign. Obama knew about it. The intelligence agencies knew it was bogus, but they launched this thing anyway. Here's the framing from the failing New York Times. John Durham's report on the FBI's investigation into the Trump campaign's work with Russia, which produced no startling revelations, is being viewed by some conservatives as lending credence to their conspiracy theories about the U.S. agency. No, it confirms it.
Exactly.
It's not a conspiracy theory if it's true.
Oh, man.
Wow. I mean, proof positive. It's nothing but propaganda out of the failing New York Times.
Well, they don't want to give back all their awards that their journalists right. won by covering this story.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, man. So the FBI lies. Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because they know it's not true. They leak it to the media who runs with it, and then they use the media reports to say, hey, we need to be able to look in on this stuff, and this yep. way we can spy on people, including
yes.
Trump.
Yeah, it was,
it's nuts.
It was a human centipede of lies.
Yes. Yet no startling revelations, says
no,
the failing New York Times.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Did you ever think we'd be here in 2015?
All
because
the way
I
back.
Can honestly say I did not.
No, it is pretty remarkable to watch this.
I mean, how can you say it's anything but propaganda?
Yeah. Well, how can you say it's not startling that a sitting United States president knew that his preferred successor was starting a disinformation plot on American soil and essentially gave the green light to the intelligence community to run with it?
Yes.
That's pretty startling to me.
Not only that, but you know Hillary Clinton started the whole thing.
Yeah.
That seems to be omitted from a lot of legacy media's coverage of this.
Right.
It all started there. It's
absolutely wild to watch this go on. David, you have an update on John Fetterman.
Yeah, so John Fetterman yesterday was grilling the former CEO of Silicon Valley Bank, one of the banks, of course, that failed in the last few weeks. Huh?
Was grilling him?
Was grilling him, yes.
He was attempting to, I think, Scott.
This is the Democrat senator out of Pennsylvania who almost died from a stroke last year and then had to be hospitalized for 6 weeks this year due to crippling depression. But he's fine, okay? Now, before you play the clip here, because the guy can't talk. And it doesn't seem like he can really do the job. He doesn't, you know, he gets startled by loud noises and bright lights. That's from his own campaign.
Correct.
And or his own team, I should say. So I just want to share this with you before you play the audio. This is how he was quoted by a Washington Post reporter. And they actually use quotes in this case.
Okay.
Quote, "Shouldn't you have a working requirement after we bail out your bank? Republicans seem to be more preoccupied with SNAP requirements for hungry people than protecting taxpayers that have to bail out these banks," end quote. Here's how that actually went down.
Oh, my goodness.
"Shouldn't you have a working requirement after we sail your bank with billions of your bank? Because they seem to be more preoccupied than SNAP requirements for works for hungry people, but not about protecting the tax papers, you know, that will bail no matter whatever does about a bank to crash it."
that's not even close to the word translation.
right. I mean, if you want to say, hey, this is a summary of what he was trying to say, I guess, but he puts it in quotes. The reporter is Jeff Stein, actually put it in quotes. "Shouldn't you have a working requirement after we bail out your bank? Republicans seem to be more preoccupied with SNAP requirements for hungry people than protecting taxpayers that have to bail out these banks." And what he actually said was, "Shouldn't you have some kind of working required, sir, after we sail your bank, billions of your bank, because you seem we were preoccupied requirements for works for hungry people, but not about protecting the tax papers, you know, that will bail them out of whatever does about a bank to crash it."
See, even while you're reading it, you want to correct it. Because it doesn't sound right, right? I mean, you're reading this, and in your mind, I did this morning. In your mind, you're correcting it and reading it as it should have been said. Mm-hmm. Because none of that makes any sense.
There was another part that he couldn't make out, because you had the whole clip, and we don't have to go through it again. But someone actually took the time to write it out.
Yeah.
Like you just did there.
Yeah.
A different part of what he was saying.
Yeah.
Because it took forever for him to get to the final part of the question. But at one part, he said, "That's like if you have, I mean, like, and they also realize it is that it, that now they have been in, dude, I feel almost bad reading this, what it was.
Yeah.
A guaranteed, again, by no matter what, by how. Isn't it appropriate that those kind of controls should be more stricter?" Dude.
I don't even know
I don't know why they have him asking questions. I mean, it'd be one thing to say, hey, listen, we're going to let this guy continue to recover while he serves in the Senate. But to do this, you're setting him up to fail, for crying out loud. But I think, David, you had a point yesterday. They're doing it on purpose, daring people to call it out.
Yeah. And because I think when they come at you and say, oh, you're being ableist for pointing out what you see and hear, which leads to actual serious questions about whether or not he is fit to be in the United States Senate. And to me, it's like, if it's just a matter of he can't get the words out, sometimes that does happen with stroke victims or anybody with any sort of brain damage. Everything's working in their mind, but they just can't. Whatever process goes from the brain to the mouth, there's a breakdown there. They can't do it. You could totally make accommodations for that. You could totally say, we're going to do text to talk.
Yep.
You would do the same thing if somebody had throat cancer and could no longer speak. You wouldn't make person get up there and try to struggle through speaking.
It's terrible. All right.
Yeah, from the party that wheels in Dianne Feinstein, too. Yeah.
Oh, did you see the update on her?
I did.
Did you see it, David?
Oh, where she said, I wasn't out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'd been out for months.
I know. Mm-hmm. Just it's the whole thing.
And the reporter is asking, well, you know, coming back into this, what do you mean? I honestly, from reading that, I don't think she understands that she was gone for as long as she was.
She doesn't.
But these reports have been out for years now.
Just awful.
Holy smokes. Okay. Let's get to the drunk guy that walked into Jake Sullivan's house. Who's Jake Sullivan? He's what again?
He is the National Security Advisor. And
okay,
we are,
and he's got Secret Service?
He does,
oh, yeah.
And somebody just walks in.
Yeah, a drunk guy walked into his house a couple weeks ago, and we're learning about it now because the Secret Service is doing is trying to remedy whatever went wrong here. But he, apparently this guy was hammered, got into Jake Sullivan's house.
By the way, not even Good Morning America could spin this one, really.
Yeah.
The ridiculousness. If you didn't hear that report, if you're up for it.
Sure.
Roll it.
To that major security scare and questions about how an intruder was able to get inside the home of President Biden's national security advisor at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, how'd that happen? What?
Picture this. It's 3 a.m. in the morning in late April, and a strange man simply walks through an unlocked door into the home of the national security advisor, one of the most important people in all of U.S. government. And the story gets worse. There's a detail of Secret Service agents outside who apparently do not see him go in.
How do you not see somebody? Are you asleep?
Well, also, you're the national security advisor and you don't lock your doors?
Exactly.
That's strange.
Well, I mean, you got 24/7 security, so maybe you feel safe.
I mean, if a raccoon crosses my front porch, I get an alert on my phone.
Right.
Ding,
I'm
ding.
Thinking about everybody I know that has different security systems. This would be an alert.
The man is confronted by Jake Sullivan and leaves within minutes, but this can't happen, and the Secret Service knows it. They've launched an investigation to see what went wrong, why all the layers of security failed, why no alarms went off, and they want to know what in the world were those agents doing. They apparently did not even see the man leave. I'm told security changes have already been in place.
You think? All right. Something fishy. What's going on?
You know, I could be totally wrong, but the way my brain works, you know, again, something's hinky here. There is that little part of me that believes that was not an uninvited guest. I don't know what they may have been doing. I'm not going to suppose anything else, but it's just...
We're all thinking the same thing. What is that?
It's incomprehensible, or it just doesn't seem possible that the National Security Advisor doesn't lock his freaking doors and the Secret Service doesn't notice someone going in or coming out of the house. Because as the story goes, Jake Sullivan walked out and said, "Hey, Secret Service, did you see that guy?"
That's unreal. Okay, you need to leave. So then he doesn't say right away, "What are you guys doing?"
Uh-huh.
There's something else going on there.
Maybe he got an alert and realized his wife was coming back a little bit earlier than expected and told the guy he had to skedaddle and then had a cover story.
Jake Sullivan's married?
Yeah. Somebody who works in the, she works in the Justice Department.
So what was she doing during all this?
I don't know.
Something else is going on.
Arriving back in town on a red-eye flight unexpectedly.
Yeah. Jake has on the silk robe and the hammer in his hand. With a cocktail in the other.
Seriously, how does that happen?
I don't know. There's a lot of other stuff we got to get to.
Oh, Elon Musk, talking about George Soros, saying, yeah, he hates humanity. Elon also said he reminds him of Magneto.
What?
Yes, we'll get to that. And, Scott, you're going to have to explain this. The Dodgers are going to honor this drag group mocking Catholics? What's going on with that?
Ridiculous.
All coming up right here.
All right.
The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Elon Musk cracks me up. Can't help it. Called out fellow billionaire George Soros, igniting a firestorm online.
A firestorm. Okay.
Well, people got their feelings hurt.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say? Said George Soros reminds me of Magneto.
It's Magneto, sir.
Yeah, he's a bad guy in what superheroes?
X-Men.
What is it? It's the X-Men, yeah.
Yeah.
It's never into the X-Men. My apologies to all X-Men fans everywhere for getting the name wrong. He said he hates humanity, and that's why he gets all these DAs elected to not enforce crime.
Well, there's truth to that, yes.
Yeah, I think that's, well, yes, we know that, but you're always thinking, okay, is it some other sort of ideology, Marxism, some nonsense? Elon Musk just says, no, George Soros hates humanity. That's what it's all about. Said, you assume they're good intentions. They're not. He wants to erode the very fabric of civilization. Soros hates humanity.
Yeah, I would believe that. Seems to make sense to me. I don't know if you caught the little interview, and I forget who it was with, that Musk was doing. And the interviewer was saying, you know, a lot of this stuff you comment on Twitter are conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
And then his response to it, this is pretty good.
You know, you do some tweets that seem to be, or at least give support to some who would call others conspiracy theories.
Well, yes, but I mean, honestly, you know, some of these conspiracy theories have turned out to be true.
Which ones?
Well, like the Hunter Biden laptop.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a pretty big deal. There was Twitter and others engaged in active suppression of information that was relevant to the public. That's a terrible thing that happened. That's election interference.
Yeah. Russian collusion.
Yeah.
Things like that, that have altered the state of a country forever.
Well, let's not even talk about COVID.
Yeah. You're not even touching that
yet.
Holy
smokes, yeah.
Oh, and vaccines and everything else that went along with it.
Sure.
But this is the guy that the left is still incredibly afraid of. And it does seem that the guy is for free speech. I know he's upset a lot of people on the right with the new hire CEO of Twitter, because she comes from ties of the World Health Organization and also the Davos people. I get that. Mm-hmm. But to me, he's done a lot. As far as Twitter, we wouldn't know a lot of the stuff that we know without Elon Musk. So to this point, I mean, I'm not saying he's my hero forever. I'm saying so far, I'm glad he's done what he's done. Doesn't seem to be because he's making more money, that's for sure.
Yeah, right.
No, he's costing himself like tons of money. Scott, I got to ask you, what are the Dodgers doing? Because you're a big baseball fan. They're going to honor this drag group that mocks Catholics, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
I don't know why baseball and other sports keep stepping on the rake, but they do it time and time and time again.
No, they're not stepping on the rake. They actively hate you.
See,
I've made this case for years now. Seriously, it's one of the reasons why, and it's like I'm not, you know, calling for a boycott or whatever, but every time, I like baseball. I've spent a lot of money going to Houston Astros games, and I can't watch Major League Baseball anymore. It pisses me off now. Every time I turn it on, I think about them caving to the left when it came to the All-Star game in Atlanta because of this lie that Georgia had done the Jim Crow 2.0 voting law. And that's the moment when I realized Major League Baseball hates me.
This is a group of people, right, that dress like nuns, is that it?
Yes. Yeah. They're called an anti-Catholic hate group. Exists to desecrate and degrade the Catholic faith.
This is the time you really miss Vin Scully. Well, a beautiful day for Dodger baseball. Seems like a group of bearded nuns are on the field right now.
That sister is a mister.
Well, what do you know about that, huh?
Well, on Easter this year, the group put on a Jesus and Mary-themed striptease.
Yeah.
Writhing upside down on a large wooden cross was part of it.
I'm going to be a drag queen, and I'm going to go as Muhammad.
Oh, see, buddy.
See how that works.
Woo! That's a hot one. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin show. Okay, biggest story of the day, if there's one.
ISIS just put out a jihad on me.
I was going to say. That's Van Camp.
I'm serious, though. If somebody
think
did
of
that,
the media reaction to that.
If it was like, okay, this drag queen's going to go out there and be sexy Prophet Muhammad in a G-string, and he's going to perform in front of children, you would get so much crap, and justifiably so. I'm not saying that that would be a great thing. But you would become public enemy number one from liberal media. But if you do it to the Catholics, well, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't think that the San Francisco Giants or the Anaheim Angels or the Los Angeles Dodgers would be doing the special night for those folks.
No, they wouldn't, because they don't want their stadiums to blow up.
News update on San Francisco. You got it here next. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robin show. I'm Jamie Markley, Gen Xer. The millennial, David Van Camp. The sexy boomer, Scott Robbins. Okay, we have another town calling a violent criminal a pillar of the community.
Yeah, there was a situation, we talked about it last week, because a bunch of lunatics went to the Board of Supervisors meeting in San Francisco,
And remember that one lady just like started screeching, just literally started screaming.
Yes. This is what happens in trans genocide. Blah, 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 blah.
Yes. The person was caught shoplifting at a Walgreens. The security guard kicked that person out. Well, that person returned, stole stuff, and then tried to leave. There was a fight. The criminal wound up getting up and walking out the door, but then turned back to face the security guard after apparently saying, "Hey, I got a knife." So the security guard at the Walgreens pulls out his piece and shoots him once.
Mm-hmm.
That person's name was Banco Brown. She identified as a man. And this is, according to the left, evidence of trans genocide. But the prosecutor in San Francisco isn't charging the security guard because she says, Brooke Jenkins says, this was, you could make a pretty good case that it was self-defense.
Yeah. We saw the video.
Yeah. But listen to how CBS News framed it this morning.
Okay.
Brown, who is transgender, was known for helping black transgender youth and had been struggling with homelessness in the weeks before his death.
Tapes are just telling us everything we know, that Branko was murdered because of his crime of being hungry.
No.
Here we go.
That's not what happened.
Here we go.
There was a shoplifting involved. There was a scuffle involved.
Yep.
And then, I mean, it'd be one thing if the security guard shot the person in the back as they were running away from the store.
Right.
That would be a different situation, I think. But when you say you have a knife and you're standing a few feet, just a few, I mean, what, like, she was basically on one side of the door, he was on the other, the security guard was on the other. Like, not, like, 3 feet, 4 feet, maybe?
Sounds right. And this is after the criminal spit on the security guard. Yeah.
So then you turn back around and you've indicated that you have a knife.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get shot if that person has a gun and knows how to use it.
Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong. They were both black, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so that takes away one angle from media.
Mm-hmm.
But still, this is somehow this person was targeted because they're trans?
And hungry. The crime was being hungry. No, the crime was stealing and then being violent.
Right. And then there's protests and everything else. Yeah. And the truth is, most people in America, where they don't want to see anyone die, is not going to be bothered by this story in the least. Just not. It is the, you know, say, mess around, find out.
Yep.
Say you got a knife and you're threatening and you're used to doing that. Well, you're not going to threaten anybody anymore. And again, nobody wanted to see him die, but.
No.
Okay.
And he's probably a John Legend impersonator.
Entertained so many.
Yeah.
Okay. There is a story about something that happened at a school with a book again. What is this story?
Yeah. This is in Hayworth, Illinois.
Okay.
Small town.
Yep.
And this teacher, Sarah Bonner, I just want to read from you and then I'll explain why this is so outrageous. But this is how NBC News framed this.
All right.
Sarah Bonner has been an Illinois middle school teacher for 20 years, and she has always tried to offer her students a diverse collection of books. This year, a parent called the police over her book choice. It started on Monday, March 13th, my birthday, 2023, when she held what she calls a book tasting for students. I wanted to give them a smattering of fiction and nonfiction to choose from on a day that we call Reading Monday, said the teacher. We just read and celebrate books. One of these books was Juno Dawson's This Book is Gay. It's a best-selling nonfiction book that's billed by its publisher as an entertaining and informative instruction manual for anyone coming out as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or trans.
Okay, sorry to interrupt. What grade is this again?
This is middle school.
Middle school, okay.
Yeah. And then apparently a couple days later, she got notice that parents had gotten a hold of pictures from a book that their child had taken in class. And by Friday, she was told that parents had filed a police report against me for child endangerment. And then she wound up quitting. She resigned in protest and whatnot. Now, the way that NBC News and others have framed it is, see, this is just this right-wing censorship. This is this thing. Okay, let's go through some of the things in the book called This Book is Gay.
Okay.
And keep in mind, you're talking about middle school students, and there are terms in this book, in the glossary section, I can't say on the radio. It includes.
Then how is it okay for a middle school kid?
Right. It includes. I'll just try to church this up a little bit. A detailed explanation and how to of PP play. Of
what?
How to whiz on your partner and have it be fun for both of you. It includes things involving fecal matter.
What?
In the bedroom. It includes all a guide of all the kinds of sex you can have, how to do it. And let's see. The book is listed at ages 14 to 17. And it also talks about going to bathhouses. That is not okay for middle schoolers to be given at school.
Okay. You're talking about some sick stuff in there, right?
Yeah.
And you've heard this before. That's part of grooming, because you're desensitizing kids to sex, which opens the doors for groomers. That's part of how you get a kid, and especially kids that oftentimes come from poor families that aren't accepted by other people. And you're opening different doors with these kids to desensitize them to these things of a place where they will be very much accepted for older people to take advantage of them. That's one of the signs of grooming.
Yes, it is.
Especially in middle school. So the fact that this teacher quit is fantastic, because she shouldn't be around kids.
No, that's grooming. I just want to read one more portion of this book again. This poor teacher had the police called because she was handing it out to students.
Good.
Biological differences, according to this book.
Okay.
Gay men and straight women have equally proportioned brain hemispheres. Gay women and straight men have slightly larger right hemispheres. Okay. Gay men have slightly longer and thicker winkies. Excellent. The amygdala of gay men is more responsive to porn than those of straight men. So we have bigger bleeps and we're... I don't think I could say that word. And we are more... we want to pursue that activity more.
Got it.
Say that.
All right.
And then...
I know you were looking for help there from Robin's Arrive, but you were out there on that island, and we were kind of enjoying just seeing you, like paddling fast.
I had a lifeline, but I was too entertained by what was going on.
Holy and then it wraps it up. The biological differences. Finger length ratios may vary between lesbians and straight women. Get combing the streets with a finger ruler, ladies. That's for middle school kids? Are you freaking nuts?
Yeah. Wow.
And by the way, this is a small rural town. This isn't like some major metropolitan city somewhere, you know?
Okay, well, totally, I was going to say switch gears. It's not totally switching gears. It's just a completely different story. Riley Gaines, you know, the swimmer from Kentucky, that she's been very vocal about protecting women's spaces, including in competitions. She had to swim against the artist now known as Leah Thomas, the biological dude we all know was the UPenn swimmer. So she testifies before Congress. And part of this, honestly, and I've heard her speak many different times, was something that I'm not sure I knew before or remember this part. Listen to what she said about this whole atmosphere with Leah Thomas at the Nationals.
A 6'4", he's actually taller than 6'1", a 6'4" male walks in, disrobes, and is fully intact with male genitalia while we're simultaneously undressing as 18 to 22-year-old girls, and we could do nothing about it. I actually immediately left the locker room, and I went up to one of the officials on the pool deck, and I said, how is this allowed to happen? You know, I understand the guidelines for the competition, but what are the guidelines in regards to the locker room? And he looks at me and word for word says, oh, we actually got around this by making the locker rooms unisex, so it's not a big deal.
Time out. Had you heard that before?
No.
I had not heard
I've never
before.
Heard of unisex locker rooms. When did this happen?
Okay, if you remember when we were talking about this as it was happening with the swimming, how crazy it was, how we were living in a society that just allowed it to happen.
Yeah.
And for most sane people, you're still in that same place. How is that even possible? This has to stop. Then you get to the unisex bathroom.
Yeah. And
she goes on from there.
And I thought about that in unisex. So this meant that any man could have walked into our locker room, not just a self-identifying female.
Yeah.
Any man, any coach, any parent, any official, any man who wanted to would have had full access to, and bare minimum, we weren't forewarned. And actually, Leah Thomas's teammates, who dealt with this every single day all year.
Yeah. And we had heard different stories about them going to their administrators that basically said, deal with it. I think she talks about that.
When they expressed their discomfort to their administration and they sent an email, and I swear I have a screenshot of their response, their administration responded back with, if you feel uncomfortable seeing male genitalia, here's some counseling resources that you should seek.
Oh, God.
What? That is insane.
Oh, come on.
And what does the left do, along with left media? Just hateful people. Leah Thomas just wants to be who she really is. No. That insane. Get her some help, whatever it is. Not every woman needs to say, well, we got to be okay with guys just being in the locker room now. No. That's absolute nonsense. I can't believe we're in this time and space sometimes. It's just crazy. Meanwhile, the same people that say, hey, deal with it, women. So what if she has a penis? All right. We need to boycott Dolly Parton because she did a duet with Kid Rock. Did you see that?
Are you kidding me?
Okay, no. There's
a second rule. One, the first rule is leave the kids alone. The second is get Dolly Parton's name out of your mouth.
Okay. Yeah, David's going to get irritated now. Yes, you've heard for a long time Dolly Parton has this rock album coming out. She's got all these duets. One was with Kid Rock. Well, the people on the left hear that. Oh, we need to boycott Dolly Parton.
No.
Oh, God.
She makes it seem like everything he says that she's all about. What?
Yeah, saw The Advocate had written something saying something to the effect of he's not even really a rock star. Like, he's
what?
He's pretty much a rock star, man. Sorry that hurts your feelings. But the criteria is because he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it's like, well, Boston's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so.
Well, okay. Most people would say Motley Crue, they're rock stars.
Yeah.
Not saying they're accomplished musicians, they're rock stars. They're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Kid Rock is a rock star. Idiots, man. But no, the left is very particular. We are going to say who you can and can't do duets with. You don't get to choose that anymore. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be in our club, Dolly, you're going to have to get rid of Kid Rock. Yeah. Kid Rock, I don't think, has been quoted yet, but I can't wait till it comes out. Because you know he does not give a hillbilly bleep about any of that. Okay. Well, there's still a lot that we need to get to. Public schools might ban chocolate milk. Uh-oh. That and a news update next. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. There's a report. 6 on the terror watch list. Nabbed at the border. Which begs the question, how many got through?
That's a good question.
You won't know until something crazy happens, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're on the terror watch list. You make it through, get to, I don't know, some town in Nebraska and say, hey, just so you know, I was on the terror watch list, but I've changed my ways.
Right.
Well, I'm just here for a better life.
3 more, you got a softball team.
I think they play with 10, Scott. You got to have the extra outfielder.
Okay. Well,
unless you got somebody that's really aggressive in center.
Well, they are terrorists, you know.
Yeah, got that. Public schools might ban chocolate milk. Don't know if you saw that.
Why?
Well, extra calories, you know. That was according to the Wall Street Journal.
Are we going to make this into a race thing? I'm waiting.
Okay, I'll just read from the story.
Okay.
Okay, they've thought of removing chocolate milk from public school cafeterias along with all other flavored milks. Why? Because they have more sugar. Mm. People in favor of a ban say it could keep kids healthy. Keep kids healthy?
No, it won't.
Well, no. Yeah. It might take off some calories a day, but it's not going to keep kids healthy or even help them be healthy, to be honest.
Probably not.
Lower rates of childhood diabetes. Maybe. People against it say chocolate milk is still a net benefit because of all the calcium, potassium, and vitamin D. And if their only option is regular milk, kids might not drink it at all.
That's it. Yeah, they're going to bring Mountain Dew with them.
You think you bring it in?
Yeah, just start packing their lunch.
Third
yeah.
grader's going to bring the dew in?
Yeah.
With their, the 20-ouncer?
Yeah. Peanut butter jelly sandwich and a Mountain Dew.
Says high schools would still be allowed to have it, just elementary and middle schools. So,
no.
I don't know, man.
The quickest way to get people to drink more of it is to ban it.
You know, we always had trouble drinking milk in elementary school because we didn't have the cartons. We had the bags. Just bags of milk.
You're joking, right?
I'm not joking.
He's not joking.
Okay,
hold on a second.
I've seen the bags.
No, they're bags.
New to the show. Every time we go some sort of childhood memory, and it might be something really pleasant, David's going to bring the entire the entire group down with tales of his childhood, and now we've got milk in bags? I am not familiar with milk in bags.
It's milk in bags. It's little plastic bags that are, it's like kind of the weight of a bean bag, you know, that kind of shape.
Okay.
That's filled with milk.
Straw on the side of it. Yeah,
it's, I guess it's to save on materials or something. I assume it's easier to ship more of it at one time.
Oh, like the little sunny drinks, those things? They're like.
No, but it's more like a Ziploc bag than that. They don't stand up. They just flat down. It literally is like a milk bean bag that they hand out to little kids. And the thing is, you have the pokey straw thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many times.
Well, that's
got to
be a mess. Kids mess it up all the time.
You try to stab it through, and damn it, the milk's going everywhere.
All over.
Never took off with the general public, but, you know.
Come and get your bag of milk, kids.
Oh, my gosh. It's so freaking sad.
Drop it in the Halloween bag.
The Markley Van Camp and Robin Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay, it's like a daily update of guns, guns, guns.
Well, there's been a lot of court cases going around. Today, the news is the Supreme Court has decided to let the current lawsuit regarding Illinois' gun grab make its way through the system instead of temporarily blocking it. I know some people are mad about this, but I don't buy it right now. I think the court is waiting for the right case so they can have the full arguments and then they can issue... I do believe, based on their track record so far, that there will be an extremely strong defense of the Second Amendment coming. It just takes time, unfortunately. So they just got to sit tight and be patient. I think this whole thing is gonna be a huge win moving forward.
I think that just put a lot of people at ease.
Yeah,
honestly.
Well, I do. You look at lower court rulings today. New Jersey just got hammered for their gun control laws, and I mean, the Second Amendment advocates in lower courts have been racking up the wins. And this comes as liberals are now trying to push more and more extreme gun control laws. But look, again, just be patient. This will work its way through. I do believe that Second Amendment advocates will get what they want in the end.
Okay, I want to ask you this, Dave, before we go on and get to this clip from this nut.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about guns for years now. And I think, Scott, sometimes you can glaze over when we're talking deep into guns.
I mean, I'm a proponent of ownership, yes. I don't personally own one, though. No, you guys do.
But as far as the people most against guns and want gun control. I saw this whole group. It was like Moms Demand something.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just asking the question. That's not to be mean or anything else other than to say, do you think most people that are against it understand it to a level of why people want to own guns and what the real problem is?
No, I don't. And I don't even think they know what current laws are and what they mean and what effect they have.
I think it is astonishing to me when you have media so invested in the topic of guns, mm-hmm. how many that cover the story really don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, it's really, really clear whenever this gets covered. But
So recently, a federal judge ruled that a ban on selling handguns to those under 21 is unconstitutional, and that's a result of the Supreme Court's Bruin ruling that overturned New York's May issue concealed carry permit law.
Right.
And so I think, you know, again, there is positive movement here. Democrats are panicking about this, which is why they're back to the whole expand the Supreme Court thing. There's a big protest today. Okay. We need to add more justices, rig the game. That's what they want to do. Senator Chris Murphy tells NBC News that the Supreme Court will be illegitimate if it supports constitutional rights.
This guy.
Okay.
Well, listen, if the Supreme Court eventually says that states or the Congress can't pass universal background checks or can't take these assault weapons off the streets, I think there's going to be a popular revolt over that policy. A court that's already pretty illegitimate is going to be in full crisis mode.
Well,
okay. Hold on a second.
Universal background checks.
You're still going to that?
Yeah.
Can you explain that to me, David?
Whenever they talk about this, you'll hear the term gun show loophole. There is no such thing as the gun show loophole. That's not a thing that exists. That's just a catchphrase. What they're referring to is a private sale provision where if I were to say, if my neighbor says, hey, I really like that rifle that you have, what if I gave you, you know, $600 for it or whatever? Well, I would say, well, you got to go up a little bit higher than that. But okay, I'd be able to sell it to him cash because my main business is not selling firearms. I'd be able to do that without going to a gun shop, without going to a licensed retailer of firearms, without a background check. And so people are under this impression that, I mean, whole swaths of people are going to gun shows and able to buy firearms without going through a background check. That is false. You can, theoretically, if somebody is there and you want to trade with them, yeah. But most people, when they're buying a firearm at a gun show, they buy it from what's called an FFL. This is somebody who has a federal license to sell a firearm, which does require a background check. So the whole idea of universal background checks is really trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist.
So then tell me this, and I don't know as far as the different groups that go out and protest. If you say, how about this? Let's start here. Because so many gun deaths are from people that don't legally own the firearms. If you are caught with a gun illegally, it's an automatic prison sentence. I would say five. But let's start with 3 years. Why are all these people against that?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, even in the state of Texas, where they have this evil constitutional carry where... but if you go to like liquor stores or corner stores or something like that, they'll have a sign up there that says if you are unlicensed, you face up to whatever it is, like a $100,000 fine and 10 years in prison. If you have, and that's not to say like, oh, if you don't have a concealed carry, your LTC in Texas, somebody's going to like grab your gun and say, you're going to prison for 10 years. Really, it's to add on top of charges if somebody were to rob that liquor store.
Okay. There's just so much of it that it's just for political play and not so much to, quote, save lives. And it goes on and on and on. I don't know if you heard the story. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Elon Musk, according to the Washington Post, attacked just nice old guy George Soros. And that is proof that Elon Musk is a neo-Nazi. Just so you know. Yes.
Oh, man.
When Elon Musk said, hey, this guy, he's against civilization, hates humanity. That's why he wants to get all these DAs elected that won't enforce the law. Then it's mass hysteria. People hate each other. People are dying all over. And to hear Elon Musk say that is proof that he is a neo-Nazi. Okay. All right. Isn't that interesting with George Soros? Anytime he's criticized, it's media that comes out with, people are anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
No one cares anything about George Soros other than the fact that he funds all of this crap that's terrible for the country.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
It's infuriating. Okay, moving on to the airlines. You're saying it could be a rough summer. I just saw a report the other day. You're going to see more
flights this summer since 2019.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of people are going to try to fly, but they're trying to manage the schedule right now because of that the pilot shortage. And there was another angle to this. A lot of problems, of course, recently with airlines, and Southwest Airlines in particular has had a rough go of it with the massive cancellations over the winter, last month's double firewall issue that grounded flights. Remember that caper?
Mm-hmm.
There's another issue on the horizon, not just for Southwest. There's a pilot shortage driven by people aging out and leaving work because of the COVID vaccine mandate. The unions involved don't want to ever talk about that. But that, I mean, you talk to people, and that actually is something that has driven people to an early retirement.
Yes.
So already major carriers are cutting the summer schedule. Well, Southwest, in an earnings call this week, said, we're hiring a ton of new pilots and trying to get them ready to fly as soon as they can. But they've run into another problem. They don't have enough planes because Boeing has been delayed on filling orders because of supply chain snarls caused by the pandemic lockdowns. So Dave Williams, the host of the morning show on KLIF in Dallas, I was talking to him about it this morning, and he put it very succinctly and well. So what we're looking at here is inexperienced pilots flying old planes.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Gosh dang it.
You know who talked about this a couple of months ago?
I know.
Tucker Carlson before he got
yes,
fired.
I recall.
See,
yeah.
He actually said people are going to die.
Got a guy who spent 3 months on a simulator going up flying some plane that was built 30 years ago. Yeah. God dang it. How you feeling?
Feeling great. What's the problem? Deal. You know what? Want to just recognize somebody that did something to me that was amazing. Kevin Bittenbender. Probably haven't heard of him before. Okay, he's an Army vet. Had his leg amputated. Ran a marathon 444 days later.
Wow.
Okay, I didn't mean to make you feel like garbage, Scott. I can see it in your eyes.
Geez, you do. You feel like a load after hearing this.
I know. I'm just over here like checking in on my tactical love handles right now.
Golly, man.
The cool thing about this to me, too, his surgeon also trained for it and ran the whole thing with
him. Oh, that's awesome.
I love little stories like
that. Pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of good people out there. Sometimes you forget that. One other little piece of good news. I think good news for you, Scott, depending. Did you hear about the new version of The Bachelor? Because I know you've watched The Bachelor many times.
I have.
Okay. I think it's this thing. Sometimes you, your kiddies, enjoy watching
it
together.
That's fine. You've drawn enough pictures, okay?
No, you watch The Bachelor, and you say the cats watch TV with you. You've said that before.
Occasionally, my cats will, yes.
Okay. And you get the essential oils going, and you watch it.
We can't leave it there. We have to continue on. Okay, go ahead.
This fall, there's going to be The Golden Bachelor. I think it's destiny, Scott.
The Golden Bachelor?
It's The Bachelor for senior citizens.
Oh, come on.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yes. Listen to this. The women arriving at the mansion have a lifetime of experience living through love, loss, and laughter, hoping for a spark that ignites a future full of endless possibilities.
Boy. I'll tell you, if I wasn't happily married with two kids, I'd be begging to be the bachelor on that show.
You're not old enough.
Well, yeah. I can put on. We got dudes
lie on his form.
We got dudes who say they're women. I'm going to identify as an octogenarian. Okay,
Scott. One hopeless romantic is given a second chance at love in the search for a partner, whom to share the sunset years of life.
Yeah.
It's right there for you, bro. Just think about it.
Not interested.
Okay. All right.
Not interested.
If nothing else, I know this fall what you'll be doing with the kiddies and the blankies and the essential oils. You'll be watching The Senior Bachelor. Tell me you're not looking forward to it a little bit. So you
know,
can't say
after
it.
I go out and slam a few tequilas, you know.
Ron DeSantis in the news. This thing with Trump is coming soon. Next. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
I have an update to an update here.
Okay.
So we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but a reporter with the Washington Post, Jeff Stein, quoted John Fetterman during the hearing yesterday with the Silicon Valley Bank CEO, It completely misrepresented what John Fetterman said, because in the transcript version, it was actually coherent. What Jeff Stein, the reporter, wrote was, shouldn't you, this is quoted, attributed to John Fetterman, shouldn't you have a working requirement after we bail out your bank? Republicans seem more preoccupied with SNAP requirements for hungry people than protecting taxpayers that have to bail out these banks. And what actually was said was quite different than that.
Yes.
Shouldn't you have a working requirement after we sail your bank with billions of your bank? Because they seem to be more preoccupied than SNAP requirements for works for hungry people, but not about protecting the taxpayers, you know, that will bail no matter whatever does about a bank to crash it.
Yeah. So that's not a sentence at all.
No.
Jeff Stein, the reporter, just deleted that quote, and then put up an apology saying, yesterday I tweeted this quote provided to me by the senator's office without checking it against the video. That was my fault. Though it captured his meaning, I deleted the tweet since some of the words in the quote were inaccurate.
Some?
Some. All.
All of them.
Wow.
So you copy and paste communications from a senator's office instead of actually why are you reporting at all, then?
Oh, my goodness.
I can read press releases on my own. I don't need a reporter for that.
AI won't take our jobs.
Right.
That's unreal, man. Oh, my goodness.
No one, not done. The history books will note it.
Yeah, we're this is why they lost their jobs.
Mentioned this earlier. Governor Ron DeSantis, Florida, is deploying the Florida National Guard state troopers and additional assets to Texas to help secure the southern border. It's a bold move.
Yeah.
Some would say that's calculated. That's just because he's going to announce he's running for president. That's what that's about.
I don't care. So what? Big deal.
Yeah, for people that want to secure the border, is that the right thing to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. The statement from DeSantis was, the impacts of Biden's border crisis are felt by communities across the nation, and the federal government's abdication nice. Of duty undermines the sovereignty of our country and the rule of law. So it seems like it's smart politically, and you really can't argue with it if you want to secure the border. That after I also read this other piece talking about the great underestimation of DeSantis. Because you do see on a lot of networks or a lot of different pundits saying basically the race is over. Trump's going to be the nominee.
Yeah. Blah, blah.
He hasn't announced yet. He's not even announced that he's running.
Yeah.
Well, he's
There's
done
a lot
everything
that can happen.
But, yeah. I mean, you don't go to Iowa for your health.
Well, you know, he's going to run.
Yeah, he's good.
But my point is, and we just talked about this off air, but we've talked about it hundreds of times. Think about 2016. It was Jeb.
Yeah, Jeb.
It was going to be Jeb.
Yeah.
And then Trump came in, and you could say Trump is a once-in-a-lifetime, quote, politician. And absolutely. There's no one ever like Trump. But that doesn't mean that there are a whole lot of people in the country that are not that familiar with DeSantis. I mean, if you're following news every day, of course, you know who he is.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Republican voters that don't watch the news that much, don't follow it, or don't know who he is.
Do you remember the Jeb campaign signs with the exclamation point?
Jeb!
Jeb!
Yeah, yes, that was part of the pivot. That was part of him trying to rebrand his image. Some genius came in and just put the exclamation point on there.
Yes.
Who went on to work for Bud Light.
And Trump may end up being the nominee.
Yeah,
he might.
But I think there's going to be a whole lot of twists and turns before we get there.
Oh, I think so. This is gearing up.
Some sort of proclamation now is ridiculous.
I totally agree.
Can't.
Yeah. This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. All right, David, biggest story of the day.
Biggest story of the day. I think this one, it's kind of hard to immediately get invested in politics in a city in which I don't live, and most of us don't live. But what happened in Philadelphia in this mayoral race, I think you can extrapolate some sense of what is actually happening out there in the country, because not completely, not totally.
I want to go down this road with you, David, but I'm also thinking about Chicago.
Well, right. Different animal, different city.
Yes.
But I just think it's very interesting what happened in Philadelphia's mayoral race.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to have law and order. I think everybody wants law and order. That and much more coming up.
Let's go.
The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. All right, before the Scott Robbins trifecta, news update, David Van Camp.
I want to start with yours. I think you said you had one.
Well, it's not ready yet.
Okay, I'll
the
go
audio,
with...
it's fresh.
Still
it's
percolating.
All right. Mm-hmm. I've got some audio here of one of the worst people in America, Randy Weingarten, head of the American Federation of Teachers, big teachers union, that really led the fight in keeping kids out of school all over the place.
And then tries to change history. Saying,
yeah.
I wanted them in school.
And was giving a speech in favor of Joe Biden investing in America.
Okay.
And this is probably the most off-kilter pro-communism speech I've ever heard.
Really?
Because you kind of have to, you got to listen to this, all right?
Okay.
I'll just leave it at that.
What's happened is that we have been so siloed for so long. And what's happening now is that we're being, you know, we're vitiating those silos. We're taking them down. We're actually being together in this big, big field of dreams, of a new economy and a vision. You know, and all sorts of, whether you call it CHIPS or the Inflation Reduction Act, but all sorts of things that are out there that says to employers, that says to communities, that says about climate and the new things that could happen and be made in America, that there is, to build it, we need to also build and invest in the young people.
Did Kamala Harris write that? What in the hell was that all about?
Why I say it was a defense of communism is because what she's talking about actually is central planning, is this idea that we can knock down individual silos, as she put it, and have basically one set of rulers in this country and one...
Oh,
holistic approach to building a more equal and equitable economy.
Well, honestly, isn't that what Obama just said yesterday?
Yeah.
Good old days when it was three networks and we could control the message.
Yeah.
And all this independent journalism out there, terrible for us.
Yeah.
Think about how much we wouldn't know if not for independent journalists.
Right.
Holy cow. Speaking of Kamala, there was a clip of Kamala that we just didn't have time to get to today. Her talking yesterday that made no sense.
Oh, yeah.
Gender ideology. Have you heard this, David?
I have not heard this.
Oh we got to whip this out then.
All right.
Heck yeah. Roll it, baby. She's preaching.
And most recently, they even want to eliminate classes that teach, quote, gender ideology. Well, so what are we talking about here? Classes that teach women's history? Women's equality? The study of the fact that there are still only 25 women in the United States Senate in a body of 100?
What is she talking about?
I have no idea what that was.
Well, they, you know, people call it gender ideology because you people pitched a fit when we called it grooming.
Yes.
You know exactly what people are talking about. You're not talking about women's history.
Of course not.
No, it's not. It's talking about convincing elementary school kids to chop off their weens, man. That everybody knows. That's what.
Although, you know what? The dopes that are in that audience may not. And so, yes, they're trying to erase women. Handmaid's Tale!
No, the left is erasing women.
I know. It's crazy. One other story real quick. Who is the failed socialist candidate that told protesters to block the news camera?
Well, yeah, Philadelphia Democrats have voted for a pro-police and pro-stop-and-frisk mayoral candidate, beating out the socialist named Helen Gim. who had been backed by Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So that's the good news, is that even though I think with the who will likely be the next mayor of Philadelphia, I probably don't agree with her on 90% of issues. But if she's talking about adding 300 cops and she's talking about letting those cops do their jobs, that's a good thing. That's a positive thing for the city of Philadelphia.
Got to have law and order.
Yeah. Now, according to a local CBS reporter, this happened. He called it one of the most unusual moves I've seen in covering election evenings for 20-plus years. So reporters and cameras moved to the entrance of this ballroom to record the socialist entering, the one who lost. Her campaign encouraged supporters to exit the room and block cameras and reporters. Yeah, you got to block the media, okay? The unnecessary tension, he writes, was only exacerbated when some people in the room continued to block the cameras while shouting, "This is what democracy looks like."
That is so great, man.
Wrong song, man.
Oh, that is so good, dude. All right, the Biden audio we'll get to in a bit.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, hang on.
It's not the greatest ever, but, man, he...
Yeah.
To say he doesn't need a cognitive test?
Right.
Give me a break on that. We got to get to the trifecta. Roll.
Are you ready?
One, two, buckle my shoe on.
It's the three most important news stories of the day.
I hit the trifecta.
Well, at least according to Scott Robbins. It's the trifecta on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Every day it's this time, Scott Robbins' trifecta. Help that he's back. Oh, yeah.
I'm Casey.
Well, hey there, buddy. How have you been?
Good.
Get a vacation on this show? What's the deal?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Man.
Three.
Number three, you're telling me Bud Light is going to be launching a new bottle?
Yeah, Anheuser-Busch will be temporarily redesigning their Bud Light and Budweiser aluminum bottles with camouflage print. You cannot make that up. You cannot make that up. To boost the sales. After their promotion with the transgender influencer tanked the brand, the company is set to launch a line of camouflage aluminum bottles that promote the Folds of Honor program, which provides educational scholarships for families of fallen and disabled American military. It's an aluminum bottle, one source familiar with the plan said. I believe it's the only package that will be transitioning, but I'm not 100% sure.
So is this like a Memorial Day kind of thing, or?
I don't know. But they're going to do it, and they're going to hopefully. What they're doing is they don't want to admit they made a mistake. So they're sort of.
If just, you do that, dude, you lose all the ESG points.
Yeah, you're just moving ahead like it never happened, right? Like this was all part of the plan.
Dude, it was just a few weeks ago they did the patriotic ad, yeah. Budweiser, that was massive backlash.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Camouflage cans. Yep. There you go.
All right.
We're getting closer and closer to number one.
The Scott Robbins trifecta, top three of the day, up to number
two.
Number two, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle say they were involved in like a 2-hour-long car chase.
That's what they say. They said it was a near catastrophic car chase involving paparazzi. That's according to the couple's spokesperson. The alleged car chase took place Tuesday evening after Harry and Markle attended the Women of Vision Awards in New York, where Meghan Markle was given the 2023 Woman of Vision Award by Gloria Steinem. There were numerous photographers
there. Dude, this is like out of South Park.
Yeah,
it is, because I don't know what her vision is, but apparently it's enough to get an award for.
I just rolled my eyes so hard my forehead hurts.
Here's what New York Mayor Eric Adams had to say. He said, two of our officers could have been injured. You shouldn't be speeding anywhere, but this is densely populated. I would find it very hard to believe, however, that there was a 2-hour speed chase, but I guess we'll find out the duration later. People said there's no way you're on a high-speed chase in New York City for 2 hours.
Yeah.
She's lied about many things. We know this. Okay. I know, we got to get to the next one. There's so many questions with that.
BS. But it's another headline grabber, though, you know.
Of course.
Now, on with the countdown.
Scott Robbins, trifecta, top three of the day, and up to number
one.
Fox News has changed their primetime lineup. I saw something about this. Matt Drudge, I think, had to speak on it.
Epic Times, Washington correspondent there, Jackson Richmond, a Fox spokesperson, apparently has indicated that the decision is not final yet, but what they appear to be doing is they're going to move Hannity into the Tucker slot. And Jesse Waters and Greg Gutfeld will move to prime time.
Okay.
Now, what happens to the other people that did hold those positions? I don't know.
So they move Gutfeld up an hour?
According to Judge, say Fox News will move Sean Hannity to at 7 o'clock Central, 8 Eastern, to replace Tucker. That'll be followed by Jesse Waters and Gutfeld. No word, by the way, on where this leaves Laura Ingraham or Trace Gallagher, but this is all according to the Drudge Report. Fox News is preparing to announce their ambitious new schedule.
Wow. You know, you get into the weeds of that whole thing. What really went down with Tucker Carlson? And as far as I can tell from hearing, I don't know how many different reports, if I had to bet on one, it does seem because he was sort of independent and out on his own island and was not able to be controlled. That was certainly part of it. The more you're hearing about the history of Rupert Murdoch and even how Roger Ailes, before he died, ran the network. That did you hear about Roger Ailes' widow came out and spoke about this?
Mm-mm.
Have you heard anything about this?
No.
It's kind of wild. That widow said, now everyone's finding out that Rupert Murdoch, and I'm paraphrasing, was jealous of Roger Ailes because he was the one that really understood the audience. Because he grew up in Ohio. And he understood just American people. And Murdoch never got it. And he always has to be the one that's looked at. It was really interesting because she tweeted something out, and then a reporter got a hold of her. She talked to him for like a half an hour. She was a bit, it seemed, bitter. But the whole thing does seem like Fox wanted control and Tucker was not able to be controlled.
What is your take on the whole, and I keep hearing this too, as part of the Dominion settlement? I mean, this story seems to have got legs again all of a sudden. The part of the Dominion settlement was is this much money and you got to fire Tucker.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I buy it. I've heard it, just not sure.
Yeah. I'm not sure either.
And then you wonder, okay, are we, I think we'll know at some point what the real deal was, but I think you'll have Tucker's take on it.
But
I don't
Tucker
know
was the only one that really didn't go way into the weeds on it.
Yeah, that doesn't. That's I mean, why that's, it doesn't make any sense.
Unless
with
they
that
said
whole
we're
thing.
Gonna, we want your top guy gone.
I think there may have been a combination of a lot of things, but yeah, the Dominion thing doesn't make sense. I agree with that. I think, you know, if you're worried about advertisers bailing on the primetime slot because he's gone both barrels against Pfizer and you know, obviously pharmaceuticals pay a lot of money to be on the air and run commercials on all sorts of different media platforms. And so they're thinking bottom line more than ratings, because if you're still commanding as a network more than half of the eyeballs available, then what does it matter if you go from 3 million to 1.8 or 2 million viewers?
Okay, then the argument to that argument would be, but you need all these eyeballs because you're selling the whole cable package.
Yeah.
You're selling it because you can raise the rate as far as what you're charging the cable packages. In the end, I think they underestimated the whole thing.
I think
with
so.
Tucker.
But they may have been thinking, well, if we can still get, you know, if we have advertisers who will not advertise in that time slot because of Tucker, then, you know.
Then you just told the audience, we're really not about the mission.
Of course they're not about the mission.
I understand.
They're about the money.
I understand. But they're always under the guise that we're looking out for you.
Right.
And you just absolutely desecrated that.
Well, this is going to be a long process to rebuild anything close to what they had before.
I don't know if it's going to happen, to be honest.
I'm with you on that. Yeah, I'm with you on that, too.
Yeah.
I tried to be more optimistic, but you might be
Well, I mean, trust has been betrayed for a lot of people.
The whole model has changed now.
Yes.
Yeah.
It'll be really interesting. Okay. Oh, that Biden audio we still have to get to. And we have another news update. And we have Nimrods in the news. David said at the beginning, I don't know if we can get it all in. We'll try. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Joe Biden, he may be getting up there, but just try to keep up with him. Staffers in their 20s
well,
can't keep up with him. Forget how tired he sounds today. Getting ready to go to Japan.
Here we go.
I'm about to take off in a few minutes. Here's a helicopter out there to Japan. Not the helicopter, but to Andrews. Anyway, and to meet with leaders of G7.
And then he starts talking about debt ceiling.
Just in case. He's
got this glaze in his eyes because he's trying to focus on the teleprompter, but he's still having a hard time getting through it.
I wanted to say a word about the status of negotiations with the congressional leaders. We had a productive meeting yesterday with all four leaders in the Congress. It was civil and respectful, and everyone came to the meeting, I think, in good faith. I'm confident that we'll get the agreement on the budget, that America will not default. And every leader in the room understands the consequences if we fail to pay our bills. And it would be catastrophic for the American economy and the American people if we didn't pay our bills.
I'm confident
everyone in the room agreed with the speaker, from the speaker to the majority leader, to the majority leader in the House and the Senate. The majority leader in the Senate, the minority leader in the Senate, as well as the leader, the Democratic leader in the House. And we're going to come together.
Okay, they're going to come together.
Yeah.
Did you get all of that?
No.
That was
kind of a slur fest, man. It's just kind of the way it rolls.
I'll tell you, the reboot of the Avengers is confusing as hell.
Yeah, it is.
All right, we got to get the Nimrods. Roll it out.
When the going gets tough.
Damn it, this is too hard.
The dumb get dumber.
All right, Dean.
It's Nimrods in the News on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
I love the poorly educated.
All right. Nimrods in the News. Probably heard of something like this before. There's somebody driving and they're drunk. And maybe when they got behind the wheel, they're like, I'm not drunk. But then when they get pulled over, you're trying to switch seats with the passenger. That happened in Colorado, 28-year-old male driver. Except it wasn't another person in the passenger seat. It was his dog.
Oh, jeez.
I wasn't driving the car. Dog. And here's the other thing. There were two sober passengers in the back seat. And that's Nimrod's in the news.